So good to be in the house of the Lord, and this is the last lesson of our section in this quarter, and we have been talking about the glorious church. Aren't you thrilled? I am thrilled to be a part of the glorious church. And if you don't feel that you're a part of the glorious church today, then it's not too late. You can join us because it's a thrilling place to be a part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And speaking of the bride of Christ, that is our lesson today. The bride of Christ. Let's pray before we get any further, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun, and then we'll dive into this lesson. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be in your house today. We are blessed beyond measure to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that this word would find a resting place in our hearts and our minds, and that we would walk out of here today from this Sunday school lesson and from the worship and the message later today. We would walk out of here very different people, and we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So I'm going to start out by asking you all, what is the funniest wedding story you've ever seen or heard? Getting married to him. All right. There you go. But you did it, sister. And you still are. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Sister Phoebe.
Uh-huh.
Ah, I had heard a very similar story about help me on the bottom of the shoes. Anyone else have a humorous wedding story? Well, I mentioned it some one other time that the best man and my cousins, who were the ushers, put together a spoof, and I have picture proof that it was a shotgun wedding, but not actually, not in need. No, a wedding, and as a matter of fact, I heard a lot about weddings in the kitchen at the conference that we just got finished with. Well, there's a lot of that going on. But a wedding, it's an exciting time. It's a time that we are all ready to celebrate. And this lesson today is talking about the wedding that we are waiting for. The wedding that we get to participate in when He comes to get us and take us home. But in ancient Israel, weddings were not like we think about weddings today. They were pre-planned. I'm talking about that they were arranged. In our society, arranged marriage is so foreign to us that we want to... How could we do that? Get brought into, usually it was you were, the bride was brought into, and maybe not willingly, into the wedding, and married to a man she had never seen. I got you, brother. I'm feeling that one. Lord, help me. No, But you can read through Scripture and weddings and being a bride, and it, the Scripture is full of it. From beginning to end, there are examples of, and I did some reading. I found an old Bible school textbook, Manners and Customs of the Bible Lands. And there's a chapter in there on weddings. That was the class that I got to audit because I had just got done spending 8 months in the Middle East. And so I think it was Brother Arlo Mollenpaul that was the teacher of that class. And he said, you know what, why don't you just do a demonstration and a conversation with us, you know, and we'll see, you know, we'll get you a grade and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I read through the book, and you can read about polygamy in Scripture. And are the kings, the first kings of Israel. And it destroyed their lives, really, in a lot of ways. And it's not a good thing. But the Bible gradually, even though that was there, and it what came down to what we focus on, that it's one man and one woman to form a marriage. Now, think about that in that we are the bride of Christ. Now, we are all individuals. But what are we? What do we become when we become a part of the church? We are how many bodies?
One.
We're one body. And he puts us all together in this body to be his bride. Abraham, approximately 120 years old, realized that his son, Isaac, did not have a wife. And he was living in a land that was not familiar to him. Remember, God had sent him on a journey. You go. But when he was thinking of a bride for his son, no, not here. Not among these people. He can't have a bride here. And so he sent his servant, Eliezer, and he gave him very specific instructions that I want you to go to where I am from, and I want you to find a bride for my son. And sent him with an entourage of camels and servants that they could make this trip. And it's estimated that it was 3,400 miles with camels. No! Approximately 170 days on a camel. No, I spent about 20 minutes on one. No thanks. They're hard to ride. They're even hard to stay on, to get up on them. Because their back legs come up first, and if you're in... Hang on! No. But that took Eliezer that much time. And he got to the community that Abraham had sent him to. And he saw the well and understood the customs. And he knew that it was about time for the women to come out and get the water for the evening meal. And he prayed and said, Lord, my master sent me for a bride for his son. This is what I would like to happen. And I know I'm paraphrasing, and I'm not trying to belittle what the word says. But he's just asking the Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to find someone that will be willing 170 days, 3,400 miles, to meet a man that she has no idea who he is and be married? Lord, the woman that comes to this well and offers to give me something to drink, give me water, and is willing to water the camels. And our God worked it out so that the first woman who came, the first young lady who came to that well, offered Eliezer water and offered to water the camels. Can we say that we have prayed a prayer in a scenario that we had no idea what we were going to do, and God answered just like that? We can all gather things in our minds, and stories can start rolling through our minds where God has met our immediate need right then. God does that for us. He can fix a situation. He can work out a scenario for us. And he can give us the direction that we need, put us in the right place at the right time, and send the right people to meet the need. Because he is the orchestrator of everything that is happening in our lives. We could read there in Genesis 24, and if you want to look at this, you can look at it in Genesis 24. But Rebekah was the one that came to the well. And it turns out, as you read, that they were related back a couple of generations. And Rebekah was part of the family of Abraham. And God worked it out. Now, this arranged marriage. Now, Eliezer was, he approached her carefully after that and said, would you be willing now, what about the Lord? When he comes to us, he doesn't twist our arm. Say, Now, there is one example in Scripture that I just always wonder about. Did Saul of Tarsus really have a choice? I don't think so. Now, God knew his heart. And he was willing in that conversation. But I'm not, but with us, God has wooed us to him. He has surrounded us with love and put people in our lives that have loved us and drawn us in to this relationship with him. Now, I do know that sometimes there are things in Scripture that can cause us fear. And I remember a time when that message of fear and hellfire and damnation was a part of things. And that has its place. And the book of Jude talks about pulling people away from things. But I have also seen and learned that if we don't love them, they don't stay. Because fear will not keep anyone in relationship with God. It is necessary at times to bring them. But not keep them. And God wants us to have this loving relationship, and He draws us. So Rebecca was asked, are you willing? And the Lord Jesus Christ asks us, are you willing? Do you want to serve me? Do you want to love me? He wants us to love Him. She was willing to come and enter into a marriage with a distant cousin. But it was family. Shotgun wedding. No. When we came into this relationship, or again, if you're not in relationship with the Lord Jesus, we left the things that were familiar to us. And we have to be careful that those familiar things don't creep back in to our lives. But Rebecca was willing to walk away from everything she knew. At 3,400 miles, I'm sure she was never going to see her family again. The only thing that would be familiar that came was what her father gave her. Her family gave her to take with her. And God gives us this family. And we begin to become familiar with this relationship with God and the interaction with the family that He puts us in. And when we become familiar with that, it's easier to stay in relationship. Keep relationship good with one another, but also keep relationship with Him in this soon-to-be marriage that we're getting ready for. We have to walk away from the familiar, the things that we knew. Can I let go of that? I don't know. There are things that we have a hard time letting go of. And they come back. Old relationships. Familiar places. You walk down that street. Drive past that place. And we... Oh, the memories start coming back and we think, oh, I remember. But we don't always remember the bad parts of it. We don't necessarily remember what it became. And on the other side of that coin, the past could be frightening. It could be this huge burden. And we could... Again, drive down this road or go past that building or see this person, and this heavy weight could come back on us. But Jesus wants us to be able to let go of all of that. And in terrible situations that may have afflicted our past, God wants to heal inside of us, and He can do that. I know He can do that. And it's only when we commune with Him that we can completely let go of the hold that the past could have had on us. And you say, well, when we have repented, that's all dead, and it has to be buried, and we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It is all gone. I know all about that. And God fills us with the Holy Ghost. And we have power with Him. But Those things in our past can still come back. Those familiar things can come back, and it takes this relationship. I want you to understand it takes relationship for that to completely go away. The devil doesn't want to let go of us. But we're getting ready to be the bride. And when you're getting ready to be the bride, there is a lot that happens and changes. And that bride has to be willing to let go of the past. When Jesus came to this earth, he was looking for his bride. And the only way that he could have a bride was to come to this earth and live for a time like we live. You say, well, why did he need to do that? I think we needed to know that he understood. That our God really does understand what it's like to be us. Amen. We don't trust people that we don't think understand. Who do you share things with? You share things with somebody that's going to understand where you're coming from. And God understands. And I don't really think that if he hadn't robed himself in flesh and come and lived like we live, that we may have thought that he really did understand. Because if that hadn't happened, and we think about God, we think about his mighty power. We look at the beauty of creation and what he has put together on this ball that we live on. That he is controlling every moment of everything. And we could say, that isn't a God that could understand us. But he robed himself in flesh. And he lived the life of a man, a human being on this earth. He worked among people. He healed, he touched, he raised the dead. He showed us what a relationship with him could be like, what a connection with him could be like. And then he finished the work that was needed to recreate that relationship. Amen. To create the relationship that existed in the beginning. The walking in the cool of the evening with mankind. And that's what he wants. He wants a bride to be with in relationship. And we have an opportunity since he came and died for us. He became that perfect sacrifice. He gave everything. So we did not have to pay for our own mistakes. Now, we might have consequences. Well, I could say we will have consequences. We don't get away from consequences. They still happen. God may smooth them over a little bit. There are some of them that he might take away, but we have consequences for our sin. But he can fix it in the end. He will fix the end. And he will make a way through the things that happen in our life because of our humanity, our sin. John 14 talks about what we can look forward to. He said in John 14, verses 1 through 4, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Are we troubled at times? Yes. We can have heavy hearts. We can feel the trouble that this world gives to us. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You can believe in me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He's going to tell us the truth. He is truth. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Are they just finishing up the last little bit of paint? What's happening in heaven right now? What are the last touches that are being put in place? That then we will be ready to go. And then who is the last person that God is waiting for before the trumpet sounds? And he's going to take us to heaven to be in our mansion that he's preparing for us. Maybe that person is right here today. And the last person is going to say, "Yes, I will love and serve you." And be willing to lay their past at an altar in repentance and say, "Yes, can I be baptized?" And God would fill them with the Holy Ghost. And that when that number is, we don't know what that number is. We don't know who the last person is. But he knows. And he wants us to be ready for when the time is coming. The customs in Scripture in a wedding were that the betrothal would happen. Now, there was a difference between "I promise that I want to marry you." And this is in a scenario that's not necessarily arranged. They know each other. I promise I want to marry you. That was possible in that time. But there was a betrothal. And that was a signed contract. Now, in our culture, that all happens after the ceremony that we have. When you have that slip of paper that the groom signs, the bride signs, the best man signs, and the maid of honor signs. And then the pastor signs, or the judge, or whomever it might be. Now that's the legal contract that we have in our culture. But the wedding has already happened. But in their culture, they would make an arrangement. And usually it was the fathers or someone who was representing the parties that were going to be married. And they would sign a betrothal. And in Eastern culture, that was a marriage contract. And then there was a period of time, typically a year or so, where the to-be groom would go away to prepare a home. Now, doesn't that sound familiar?
Amen.
He would go to prepare a home. And when the home was ready, in his connected to his father's house, because the bride went to the groom's home. The groom would come and gather the bride. Now, in their culture, and this is very foreign to us also, and we would just stand up in it. But then the arrangement was is that the bride, who was the property of the father, became the property of the husband. Now, sorry. Is my face talking? No. We are bought with a price. Thank you, Sister Phoebe. My face talks. My husband says I should never play poker. I don't really even know how to play poker. But we refrain from feeling like we're property. All of us do. We have a history of slavery that's not very old in this country. And in reality, it still exists. But God wants to deliver us from that kind of slavery. And bring us in. And Sister Phoebe, he bought us with a price. Because he loved us just the way we were. He loves us just as we are. And he is coming for us. And they would come for the bride, and there would be a procession. And it was a year or so after that contract had been made. Now think just a moment to that young lady that Gabriel said, "You are blessed and highly favored." And that you will bear a son. But how can that be? She was betrothed. She was Joseph's bride. The wedding had not happened. But she was legally his. And she said to Gabriel, "It's okay. I'll do this." And do you know what she could expect? She could expect stoning by saying that. Because that's what the law said. But that same angel fixed it. No, God fixed it. Sent Gabriel to Joseph. "It's okay, Joseph. You can take Mary as your wife. She hasn't done anything wrong. She's going to bear a son. And you're going to call his name Jesus. Because he is God's son manifested in this world. But that betrothal in all reality was broken. But Joseph showed mercy. And they had a ceremony. And he waited to take her as his wife until after the babe was born. Because he had an understanding after talking. But if you read it, he was merciful even before Gabriel visited. And he had decided that he would just quietly. He loved her. He didn't want that to happen. And when we make a decision to love God, we have signed a betrothal. We have created a relationship. And there are times that we could break that relationship. But God, in his mercy, wraps his arms back around us and says, it's okay. We'll fix it. I still love you. I still want you to be my bride. And what kind of bride are we? Let's get to the focus verse. Ephesians 5 and 27. That he might present it. What's it? Us. It's us. Amen. This glorious bride. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle. Or any such thing. But that it should be holy without blemish. Now we all look pretty awesome here today. Now we it's glorious and everybody looks awesome. But I can tell you that after I got my clothes on, I looked at my dog and I said, you stay away from me. Because I don't want to be in here with covered with dog hair. Because if Kelty walks by, you're wearing Kelty. No, we all spend that time. You know, we're going to get the ironing board out. Even guys get out an ironing board at times. I know. My one of my brothers irons his jeans. I'm telling you. But we want to present ourselves without spot or wrinkle. Now, we do that in the physical. We make sure that everything is just right. But how do we do that in this spiritual relationship? He wants us to be holy. What does that mean? Pure. Pure. From the inside to the outside. He wants us to be as close to him and as close to being like him as possible here on this earth. When we are holy and without blemish, that means that we are as far apart from what we see in this society as we can get. But in that, do not forget that we have to be able to be with them, to bring them in. So we don't get all spiffied up and stick our nose in the air and don't have anything to do with the people that are around us. You won't win anybody like that. You have to have relationship on our terms, not relationship on their terms, in order to draw them, help God. Revelation 21, I think it is. Sorry, Pastor, I don't remember the reference of my key verse. But the Spirit, God, and the bride say, come. That means we have to have a relationship. We have to be able to relate on our terms with the world around us so that they are willing to join us in the bride of Christ. So holy and without blemish. That's what God is coming for. So what is it that we need to do? We need to keep ourselves ready. Matthew 25 talks about 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. In a Jewish wedding, everybody carried a lamp in that procession to the groom's home. Maybe it was a long distance. Maybe we didn't put enough oil in that lamp. We don't know when he's coming. We have to listen for that trumpet. We have to listen for that call. It's time. It's time. Scripture says it's a trumpet. But if it's coming from heaven, how loud is that going to be? I'm not sure. But we need to be listening. If we are so surrounded with the noise of what's around us, will we hear? But we need to tune our ears for that call to join him in heaven. And in Revelation 19, there is going to be a wedding. There's going to be a feast that he wants all of us at. And not just us, but everyone who is willing to say yes. The rich man who was going to have a wedding and none of the guests showed up because they all had excuses. You can't, it's a shame. Who's going to come to the feast? I have all this food. There is a feast in heaven. And he sent his servants, finally, just bring anybody. Put a wedding garment on them. And they're invited. I don't think that just anybody is going to get there. There is a process to that. There is a process to putting on a wedding garment. We do need to die to ourselves and have his name applied to our lives and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But that is putting on the wedding garment. And then after that, he wants us to keep it spotless. Don't get too close. Don't be in the wrong place. You get all wrinkled up. Amen. Be holy and without blemish because he is coming. Amen. Lord bless you today. I look forward to worship, and I look forward to the word. Thank you.